You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Without giving you the specifics, I'll just tell you that I was reminded during the break that Clary, under pressure, struggles. So if you put him in an uncomfortable spot,
yeah,
he just panics. So I did so. I won't say inadvertently. I kind of... did it.
You are an envelope presser in mm-hmm. that regard.
Yeah.
Right. I think when you sense weakness, so I want you to imagine like there are two like swashbuckling pirate type guys that are fencing. When Grant sees weakness, he presses the attack. That foil is going towards your chest time after time after time.
Description. Here's what it is. I thrive on and thoroughly enjoy awkwardness. That's really what it is.
You don't recoil when it happens. You take that little saber.
I enjoy it.
And you get right in there.
Poke the bear a little
bit. Poke him.
So Russell was in the room for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I brought something up that would make everyone feel uncomfortable. Clary just kind of started, you know.
Oh, he quivered a little bit.
He just started growling and making that noise he makes.
He Tim Allen.
But I was reminded of the time that he just started yelling, "It's a football. It's a football."
Oh.
And then he tucked the device. I won't tell people what it was.
It wasn't a football, though.
In real close to his chest with like a bunch of salespeople and females in the room. And he just started going, "It's a football! It's a football!" And like pretending to Heisman and then shoving him out of the way. And I eventually just said, "Ryan, anytime we want to get out of here, out of the room we go."
That's great.
He was panicking.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable, awkward situation. And his response was to just start screaming, "It's a football."
So just, again, we're trying to paint a picture without actually using all the colors here, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
An object that shouldn't have been here was here.
It's an object that is sold at adult,
yes,
like neon lights stores.
Online in discreet packaging. It comes to your house.
Like if you're in New Orleans, there's a few of these stores along Bourbon Street probably.
Yeah, certain neighborhoods in New York City,
bunch
they're like
of
on display.
On the sign.
There you go.
You can go in and find these items.
So intuitively, this is a moment where no attention should be drawn.
Right.
Right? The most attention was drawn.
Yeah.
In other words, instead of subtly just sort of pocketing the item or hiding it or obscuring it or obfuscating
things. I
don't
think you can pocket this item.
Well,
it's
that's
a big
true.
Item.
Yeah, it is a substantial item. It's your big boy. Ryan screamed and yelled and did kind of like he borderline gritted
yes.
out of the room with the object.
There were three Washington Capitals in the studio with us.
That's right.
One of their girlfriends and then two female high-ranking officials with a sponsorship company.
Yep.
And Ryan decided to just start screaming, "It's a football," and like running into them as if he's Chris Rodriguez at OTAs, like ramming them like it's a drill for several seconds.
That's great.
It was at that moment we learned.
Oh, yeah.
When under pressure, he's not going to get quieter and calmer.
Not mousier. No.
No. But in that, I just did this during the break where I had this awkward moment, and Ryan reminded me of it because he started going, started looking over like, "What? What?" Like he can't hear. Suddenly he's like a 90-year-old guy with a hearing aid.
What?
It's like, "What are you guys talking about?" "No, you just heard us. We're right here." "What? Huh? It's a football."
I'm just the turtle in my shell over here. I'm an innocent boy just trying to do my job.
Just trying to get by.
Just trying to get by.
I like that about you. All right, let's put a bow. What do you got there?
Well, I was going to bring up, since we talked about the day where the Capitals were in studio. Do you remember what else happened that day?
No.
You cursed on air. Do you remember that?
I don't.
We never played the clip on air. I always wanted to
play
this.
Well, you can't because he cursed, right?
Oh, we can.
I'm wearing a red Caps hoodie. I didn't know Three Capitals were coming in studio. I felt a little lame.
It's like going to see the band and wearing the band t-shirt. Yeah.
I would have taken it off, but here's the problem. I got a Caps t-shirt on under it. So, what are you going to do? I mean, seriously, look at this.
Yeah.
I started to. I'm like, "Oh, I'll just take this off.
Oh.
This is embarrassing." And then I was like, "Oh,
Oh!
Dump button on
Grant!
I was like, oh, shoot.
Second? Yeah. I forgot about that. Second time in 10 years.
Years and years and years went by without that issue. And then boom goes the dynamite.
So bookend, first show, and then 10 years in.
Right.
For dumps.
I'm not much of a cursor because you got young kids around.
Of course, yeah.
You got to say words that aren't curse words, you know? But yeah, it's just funny because you can go, like, we professionally have to not do that.
Right.
And then I don't know why, but in that moment, I was referencing I had a Caps polo on, or a hoodie, I guess. And I was going to take it off so that I wasn't interviewing a Capitals player in a Caps hoodie, because that's kind of embarrassing. He's sitting right across from us. And there's a Caps t-shirt under, so it's doubly embarrassing.
So it's doubly bad, yeah.
I might as well have my Caps underwear on, too. But yeah, just a little, that one slipped out. And then I was like, oh. Dump button on.
Grant!
How about oh right after? Ah! Oh! Live on the radio. It's live, man. Things happen.
Live.
Not as bad. Nick Dowd, I think, batted about .995 this season. Nicest guy on the planet. No one's ever been nicer. I still keep up and text with him a little bit about random things. Like, actually, you know what we were texting about last week? Did you see Garnet Hathaway caught a foul ball at a Red Sox game?
Did he really?
He was just sitting there. The cameras caught it. He basically stood up and, like, reached over and made a great catch for a foul ball. So I sent the video to Dowder.
And he fought a couple guys just because.
But Dowd, just so many casual S-bombs.
Yes.
And he just didn't know probably that you can't say it on the radio. But we taped the interview enough that we would just either bleep it out, or when it was live, which is most of the time, we would just have to dump it or whatever. But just he just kind of uses it as
sure
you would use, like, and. You
know? Right. It's an article. It's like a throwaway word. It's just kind of in there. He's not, like, yelling at us or anything like that. But, yeah, he had a pretty high shooting percentage.
Level of confidence in Chase Young breaking out. Thoughts and buying some stock, because you could buy real low right now.
Yes, now's the time.
There was a time where it costs like $50 a share for Chase Young. And I would say on that scale, we're down to like, you could get yourself a Chase Young share right now, like $8. Are you going to buy in bulk? You going to get a bunch of those?
I'm not. But here's the thing. It's a non-zero chance, right? I mean, you're talking now another year removed from that surgery, which they were desperate to let everyone know was more serious than your regular ACL surgery, I suppose. There's certainly an opportunity. That kind of athletic profile does not come along very often. It just doesn't. Even within the best athletes on the planet that play in that league. He's still special even among that group. He's revered for that kind of thing. It, of course, could happen. Am I betting on it? Absolutely not. No, I sort of have cut to the end. I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends, please and thank you. But, of course, there's a chance it happens.
So I think I might buy a couple shares just because the price is so good right now. I mean, you're getting Microsoft at a rate where you really shouldn't. But I would be so much more confident in buying in on Chase Young if I knew he was doing everything that he could do. If he was controlling everything he could control. If he was focusing on the right things. And we found out today, at least for me, that that's probably not what's happening at all at this point. Everyone talks about the injury. And the injury is a real thing. But I talk about the 12 games he's played, 9 of them before the injury, and it just hasn't been good. The diversification of the pass rushing moves, the athleticism, the around the edge aptitude to get to the quarterback, it's you know, it's speed and it's power, but there's not much else there. And now's the time to work and learn and to harness those things. And man, it's a shame that he's not at OTAs. Let's go to the phones. Richmond John is on the line. Richmond John, you buying some stock?
So a couple things. Great, great stock thing, by the way, on your analogy on that.
Thanks.
A couple things. One, Beastie Boys rejoiner was great. Looking forward to Flashlight rejoiner coming up next.
Well done. Well played.
Tim with the cap, sir.
Speaking of stock, you don't want Ron Rivera as your financial advisor, because he's the kind of guy that tells his client base that the stock is performing well. Meanwhile, you're going onto your portfolio and logging in, and you're watching the stock just completely drop. I mean, look at Wentz. I mean, he held on to Wentz too long in terms of being the starter. He wouldn't pull him in the Browns game, you know, and they're not picking up the fifth-year option on him. So that's what he's hoping. He's hoping that, you know, you're buying low here and that he gives you double-digit sacks. And then, you know, the defense behind him, look at the first-round draft pick they took. You know, they're hoping that defense gets some turnovers and that Chase comes back to form in his rookie year even better. But why isn't he there? Like, he's doing all the leadership stuff when you see it in the videos.
Exactly.
I mean, if it's an excused absence, it's one thing. We don't know because they won't tell anybody because supposedly they're not allowed to talk to reporters and say, hey, this is why, you know, Leno's not there and why Chase isn't there and why Montez Sweat's not there. But we don't know. And it's probably better if he is there, you know, if it's not something like, you know, someone graduating or God forbid there's, you know, something going on with, you know, a member of his family. But he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt in my mind.
Yeah, and I reached out to someone for the record. Thanks, John, as always. Just ask, hey, is it? I'm talking about this today. I'm thinking about probably suggesting again that he should be there. Is there anything I should know about why these guys aren't there? And the person I reached out to said, to my knowledge, you know, none of the three guys had any kind of – there's no such thing as excused absence because it is voluntary. Right. But had any kind of indicator – hey, I'm not going to be there because I got this going on, for what it's worth. To John's point, though, I mean, there's a lot there. But I would just say, in terms of, you know, why – he said, why is he not there? He doesn't think he needs to be. You know, isn't that the whole problem here?
That's at its core, I think, yeah.
It seems to me like he does not view himself in this moment like the rest of us do. Where is my desperation and my hunger and my necessity to prove people wrong and to say, well, guess what? I am actually really good. I think he thinks, oh, I was just hurt. But when I've played, I've been a beast. They've double-teamed me. They've chipped me, what have you. I really believe that maybe he's got enough people around him just telling him, you're the guy that was taken to. Nothing's changed.
So for the folks that yell it's voluntary, we're very aware of the nature of organized team activities. It is voluntary. Let's say you're in charge of a whole operation where your ass is on the line and you've got people in your charge. You've got 50, 60, 70, 80 people that you're worried about trying to perform as best in a cutthroat environment, in a really, really, really challenging environment. Wouldn't you want people that would want to volunteer? Don't you see what I'm saying? Especially if you consider them leaders, especially if that person has personally a ton on the line in which should be invested in a prove it moment where their contract's coming up at the end of this calendar year or this fiscal year for you, if you're in charge. Wouldn't you want somebody that would be desperate to be there to volunteer to help establish this thing you're trying to imprint? Again, in this incredibly competitive environment, I understand it's voluntary. My response is volunteer to be there then. Do what almost everybody else has done, especially if you haven't performed the way, quite frankly, even league average, even mediocre among the 30th guy on your roster has been better than you the last couple of years. Not all of it's your fault. Now's the time to get to fixing.
Well, John referenced the videos and things that he's a part of. I will say this, like, I'm a sucker for the team produced awesome video that comes out where they use some neat graphics and, you know, they zoom in Hard Knock style on like the pores of sweat and they have some awesome song playing in the background. Like stuff you don't care about, I'll be honest, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Like that Hard Knock edited, produced. Like I've been watching, they have a show Darius put me onto on their YouTube called The Commander Log, I think it is. And they've had like 4 or 5 episodes and I watch all those. And Chase is like such a great character in that lane. Because he is the guy, like he gave this kick-ass speech. I don't remember which game it was last year. I want to say it might have been the Dallas game in Week 18, where he got everyone together in a huddle, and everyone's like gathered around him, and he was screaming, and he's like, they think we're scared. Like, they think we're going to back down. I ain't scared. Follow me. And it was just like all these dudes are around him. He's the alpha. Like, they're all like looking up at him going, what should we do, sir? But he's kind of self-appointed himself as that guy where he goes, but then you go out and you look at his line in that game. You know, and I understand he's coming back from injury. He's getting his sea legs under him. But he wasn't noticeable. He didn't do, Casey Tuhill made a play. James Smith-Williams made a play.
Yeah, and I referenced that at the top of the show, Grant.
At some point, I just want the bite to be worth what the bark is.
I used to fall for these. Too. I told everyone that Terrell Pryor was going to be the best receiver in the NFL because I watched him on Instagram running routes in the sand or jumping through hula hoops or whatever. This is leadership time. Not when the cameras are on, not pregame huddles so that I can, you know, wear my eye black and look tough and look cool. That's great. That's well and good. This is leadership time. No one else is around. Yeah. What do you do when nobody's watching? Today you do what others won't, so tomorrow you do what others can't. That's the whole point. That's how you get great. That's why Jerry Rice ran those hills. That's why all the guys that were awesome at this thing never stopped and were relentless. Can we say the same? Listen, it's not just about putting in work in the weight room because he's a physical specimen and that's great. This is the time for leadership. That's what used to bother me when great players that even produced on the field, guys like Trent Williams. My point was, you're a leader. Everybody looks to you because you're a badass. You're one of the best players in the world. You're one of the top five guys at your position. Everyone's looking at you. It would be so great if you were there. I wish he was.
Unrelated tweet here from Jesse Docherty, but I actually think there's a link. This was about an hour ago. He said, first sighting of Juan Soto in his latest return to Nationals Park. He's hanging on the back of the cage during Padres' early batting practice. He'll be here all week. His point is, Soto doesn't just go do BP and do the normal. He does the early BP, and he stands out there and he watches his teammates hit, and he has conversations about hitting and batting. That's how you become Ted Williams 2.0. Mm. You know what I mean? That's how you have the 400 on base for your career and the 995 OPS. Like, you don't just do the minimum. That's how he became the best. That's why a team traded their entire farm system for him, and he led the Nats to the 2019 World Series championship. 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Sean in D.C. What's up, Sean?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Two quick points. First, I do agree completely with Danny that unless there's a serious personal matter that he should be there. My other point, and then I'll hang up and listen. There was a Grant, to your point, there was an article in Clutch Points yesterday which proposed a trade of him to Young to the Bears, who have a lot of cap space, and the return would be a second next year and a fourth in 2024. And I'd be interested in what you guys think of that. Thanks for taking my call.
So
thank you, buddy.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, I would absolutely do that.
Now, they won't, and I understand why, by the way, because next year sounds adorable to them. They don't know what they have next year. That's the best thing for the organization would be to do that.
I will say that somebody with the team, I'm not going to pretend like it was Rivera or one of the Martys, but someone with the team, I asked them going into the draft about the possibility of a Chase trade. And at that time, they said, no, we're not trading them. They said, but I'll bet you if someone offered us a two, we would. Like, again, this is the same group that declined the option. Don't forget about that. I understand what you're saying about next year, but this group could have. Doesn't matter to them what happens next year, right? They're just using someone else's money, potentially. They could have helped their relationship with Chase Young right now and maybe gotten more out of him, and maybe he shows up at OTAs and prioritized this season by giving the deal for next year. They elected not to do that. But yeah, a second-round pick in this coming draft and a fourth-round pick, I would do that. To your point, at this juncture, with them having to win, there's a good chance they wouldn't. I can just tell you that I was told that going into the draft. If someone offered a two, they would probably pull the trigger on it. Let's go to Rod in D.C. What's up, Rod?
Hey, Rod.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
I do want Chase there, right? But I also feel like we're giving this thing, and we're giving Chase Young way more power than he deserves and way more attention than he deserves. This feels like a Snyder-esque thing, right? Chase Young has been the same guy since day one. Like, I don't know why we're expecting anything different from him. I'm just worried about all the guys who are there. JP said that media isn't allowed, and we're the only team that allows fans to come into the OTA. Like, let's cut that out so we can stop these leaks and things, and, like, we're making a bunch of nothing, you know, out of nothing.
Well, I don't think it's something out of nothing, so we'll disagree there, number one. Number two, we'd find out. It's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
Here's why. Because there are people in that building that want him there. And when you ask, is he there, they're going to gladly say no. So if there were no fans there, if there was no media there, we would still know who's there and who isn't. Also, presumably Rivera is going to have to answer questions and do some media at some point. Another story, but.
And Rivera previously has actually made a big deal about this.
Yeah.
Now, whether you agree with that or not, that's a wonderful debate for another time. He's actually spoken openly about, in years past, about how important he views these sorts of things for team building, for, you know, implementation of certain stuff and, you know, kind of getting together. He places value on it. It's fully voluntary. He's not running afoul of the CBA or anything else, but he's actually said, hey, in my culture, this is how I want to do it. We really want guys here. He's placed importance on it. For leaders to not be there, there had best be a good reason, and you better be awesome. right? And when he's sort of drawn a correlation in previously, guys didn't post, and that was emblematic of a lack of maturity, which led to a lack of production. People should take note.
I'm sending the bat signal up right now. It's going to be like a number 99, basically in the sky. But I'm sending the bat signal up for the Chase Young backers, right, that think we're haters, though, because we want him at OTAs, and we think this is another bad decision that he didn't show up. I am curious, this many years in, back-to-back disappointing seasons now, the team not picking up his option, choosing not to be at the facility for rehab, and rehab backfired. You know, all of the things that have happened that you've stood side-by-side with him and told everyone they were wrong when they've questioned every step of the way. Like, when would you start to suggest that there is some judgment issues here? Or is that just off the table forever? Is there a time where his actions and doing less than not only the you know, what's expected of a star, but the norm would start to frustrate you, coupled with a lack of production? If he's, again this year, disappointing, is that then time where you would start to go, well, maybe you guys are onto something? Or is it just he's got a because he was the number 2 overall pick, most of you didn't care about him at Ohio State, by the way. You're not Buckeyes fans. So he was the hyped prospect. They got him at number 2. You were told he's going to be the next defensive player of the year. Does he just get carte blanche with you and you don't have to use critical thinking, or you know, for the rest of time, it's just the big bad media trying to find something, and this, you know, guy's a victim because, you know, people are upset that he's not delivering? Like, I'm trying to get into the psyche of the defense with the same energy multiple years of disappointing football later. So the bat signal's up for the Chase Young crew. I want to hear from you. I want to have a conversation. 800-636-1067 on G&D. Does it seem like there's less Chase Young defense today than there has been in years past?
Not on the old internet.
On days like today. Well, Twitter's, oh, you know, you can find people. But I think in general, on the phones, maybe a little bit less of the you guys are crazy, leave him alone. Stephon Diggs, not at OTAs for the Buffalo Bills today. Here's my response to that. So what? Stephon Diggs, the really good wide receiver. If you have an A-plus in the class, you don't need extra credit. When you are struggling in the class, you might want to show up for some office hours with the professor. If you got a 100 in the course, Danny, those office hours are Wednesday from noon to 2, you don't need to spend any time knocking on the professor's door.
You could tweet us at FunnyDanny, at Greenwich Paulson.
What if you're failing the course?
Exactly. Ike did that.
What if a teacher tells you they're about to kick you out of their class? The commander is saying, we're not picking up your option. You might want to show up to the next. By the way, every class in college is voluntary. For the record, every single one of them.
Yeah.
Like, no one's taking attendance. You ever had a 400 level at sociology or something like that where nobody knows if you're there or not? Or 100 level, but I meant like a 400 person.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Auditorium class. That was my whole college experience with gen eds or whatever the term is for the initial classes that you take. Nobody's taking attendance. It's voluntary. Sit there, you take some notes, or you don't. And then when you look at the grade, the midterm, and it says,
how did that happen?
Hey, mom and dad are going to be a little upset. They're going to have questions. You know what you do? You go to that office and you say, hey, professor, what can I do to get this grade up? Stephon Diggs doesn't need to be there. He's got a 100 on the midterm.
And so I was just saying, at FunnyDanny, at Greenwich Paulson, Ike tweeted us and said it's like trying to get extra credit in class. I was failing math my junior year and just kind of did a bummer, you know, of high school. And my advisor said, well, how many times have you tried to, you know, talk to your teacher? Have you gone to office hours? Have you gone to math lab? Have you... And, you know, inquired about one of the free tutors we offer here. Have you done anything to try to change this instead of saying, oh, well? And I was completely ashamed and embarrassed because I hadn't. I hadn't done anything. Because if I objectively looked at my performance, it was an F. I was failing the class. Any objective result or analysis of the performance, especially over the last couple of years, not all his fault, by the way. Nobody's saying it is. But the production simply hasn't been there. Wouldn't you do everything you possibly could instinctively if you gave a damn about the position?
Let's go to Dan in Fairfax. What's up, Dan? How are you?
G&D, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
I appreciate you guys. I'm a loyal listener.
Yes, you are.
I don't think this is a big deal. It's been sensationalized because they need to write about something.
Mm.
But Chase, I have five football cards of Chase Young. He's one of my favorite players. And I think he's going to get 10 sacks this year and then go to another team and come back to haunt us because that's the way things go. And I have a question for Danny.
Yes.
Did you ever try to do an impression of Rodney Dangerfield? Like, the other day my kids put glue in my Preparation H. I get no respect at all.
That's better than mine. I'm serious.
I think Dan just wanted you to hear his his Rodney Dangerfield.
Passing grade of it. Dan does have more football cards of Chase Young than Chase Young has sacks over the last couple of years. Just, again, just trying to illustrate the point.
And for his career, his entire career in the NFL, Dan has
four less.
Four fewer cards than Chase Young has sacks, which is pretty amazing.
Mm.
Let's go to Matt in Spotsylvania. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I appreciate you taking the call.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for me, I don't, to your point earlier, I don't really pay attention to a whole lot of college games, stuff like that. So when they said they were drafting Chase Young, I just took it that they knew what they were doing. And, you know, you saw the highlights and everything and thought we were getting a really great player. He's going to be the face of the franchise. You know, the first year kind of gave me hopes that they made the right decision. They got their guy. The next season, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, there was some rumors going around that he was kind of freelancing on the defense and kind of doing whatever he was supposed to, you know, whatever he wanted to do.
Well, there weren't rumors, Matt. That was his coach basically saying that to Mike Silver. Well,
exactly, and that's what I was thinking. So I was kind of out on him then. It's like, you know, if you can't listen to your coach or, you know, if it's just a job, you can't listen to your boss and do what you're told to do and be a part of the team, you know, what's the point of being out there? Well, then he gets hurt. It takes forever to come back. His production's been – so just long story short, I've been out on him, and right now, to me, he's a bum until he proves us otherwise. I appreciate the team not picking up the fifth-year option. I think it was the right move.
It just feels to me like you would be so desperate to prove to everyone that even just from an optics standpoint, you're doing everything you can to the team, to the GM, to the next team, to the next GM, to the fan base as people are checking out and callers like that are saying, I'm out. And there's a lot of people like that. Even if you're going to have if he has a four sack season, but he's at everything all off season, he says all the right things. He's the first guy in, the last guy out. It's going to be viewed more favorably. That's fair or not. That's how the world works. Tailgate Ted, what's good, man?
What's up, Ted?
What's going on, boys? How you doing?
Good, pal.
So I had a job that was performance-based. They gave us unlimited vacation, knowing full well that I could never just take unlimited vacation because it's all going to depend on how I'm performing. To me, I equate this to that. Chase isn't performing. He's not living up to expectations for a second-round pick. He knows that he's not because they never exercise his fifth-year option. So it is somewhat of a big deal until we find out why he didn't post and what excuse there possibly could be. And I don't get these just sycophant fans that constantly defend him when he hasn't done anything since his rookie year. It makes no sense to me. You want your team to get better. You don't make excuses for why they're bad.
But this is my – you know what, Ted? This is my whole fascination with this conversation.
Thank you, buddy.
Is that there aren't enough deposits in the bank for people to just stand by and defend him like the Night's Watch or whatever they call it.
First of all, great reference, totally correct.
Are those the people at the wall?
It's exactly the right usage. Outstanding job.
Thank you. Why are they, but you get what I'm saying? Like, where does the passion come from? If it's D'Angelo Hall after 8 years and had a four-pick game where he won you a football game, or it's Clinton Portis after he carried you to the playoff two times, or you know, you go through the list of DeSean Jackson or Pierre Garçon. If they're pelts on the wall, sure. He had one pretty good season where he had half the sacks that Dexter Manley used to get all the time and about half the sacks that Ryan Kerrigan would get in a really good year. Cool. It was a good start to his career. But he hasn't done it. Like, where does the obsession with the defense come from? It's a young player who hasn't proven it yet. And we're just saying, maybe prove it before you start acting like you've arrived, and people can't seem to think that's a good idea. I don't get it.
I think for the folks that defend that, and by the way, we haven't had as many calls as we usually get on this, which I think you're right, it is very telling.
I think that number of people over a few years has is diminished.
Because I still get chirped an awful lot, and you know there are plenty of folks that will say they just kind of go back to the it's voluntary part. Those folks, I think, don't draw any kind of correlation between this and then good play later on in the season. Right? When we're in week 7 and he's got one sack because he Dana Stubblefield his way, you know, someone was already down and he got a chance to touch him or graze his jersey on his way by, they won't draw any correlations. But to me, this is everything. This is the whole thing. It's very easy when the lights are on, when the camera's on you, to act as if. That's awesome. That people can figure that out. It's the for the baseball analogy, you're on the third field hitting in a cage and nobody sees you. You're running the wind sprints, pole to pole. I remember driving up here one day. I had to come in super early one day, and I saw Max Scherzer waiting at South Capitol Street and M Street for the traffic light to change so he could keep his run going. That's not glamour running. Max Scherzer's not doing that. He's not printing for a camera. He's not doing an Instagram speech. He's running harder and working harder than everybody else so he can still be a Hall of Famer after he's already done Hall of Fame stuff. If he stopped playing right then in that moment, if he just said, you know what, I'm not running anymore, bleep this noise. I'm tired of my neck getting sore, and I'm tired of competing. And he walked away already a Hall of Famer. He's still outworking everybody else, people that he can't see, people that he does see. There's a reason you end up great. This is the time to be great.
James in Quantico, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Granted, Danny, thanks for taking the call.
Hey, dude. You bet.
Danny, bro. You have got to give me more of that rant at the beginning of this segment. I was at work at my desk, and I had to leave. I was laughing so hard. That is legendary stuff right there.
You're a sweetheart. Thank you, sir.
You have got to give us more of that, man. I'm telling you, with the voices as well. So, hey, you guys take care.
Appreciate
I keep listening
you.
To the show. Thank
yeah,
you, guys.
Yeah, I will say
thank
the you, line buddy. That I don't know which one popped me more, but maybe James hyphen Williams when you bought
James Smith hyphen.
James Smith hyphen. That was pretty funny. Let's go to Reese in St. Mary's. How are you?
And how you doing?
Hey, man.
Yeah, and I got a little twist to this because I'm a defensive coach, right? So let's get to the first point first. Why he's showing up. When you come and get drafted to anywhere, you figure that's your family, right? So when they don't pick the fifth-year option, and I know y'all going to say he didn't do this and he didn't do that, right? So now I might as well train, and I'm going to train, but I'm going to train for me because I got to get away from y'all because I feel y'all don't love me like I love y'all no more. So I'm going to train because I know I'm not going to be there no more because if I get 15 sacks this year, y'all not going to give me the money that y'all were going to give me, and I'm going to be already ready to go and move on.
That's not true. If he gets 15 sacks, he gets $24 million next year.
And he might not sign it. He might want to already be gone, but he'll get an offer if he plays well.
He needs to do what he can to have the best season possible. Now, your point might be training away from the facility can allow him to do that, and I'll say no, it isn't. And by the way, 2 years ago, I had the same debate, maybe not with you, but with someone else saying the same thing as you, and that didn't work out for the person saying what you were saying. He's tried this before. It hasn't worked. Hopefully it does this time. But he has done this thing. Mm-hmm. We've watched this movie. Hey, I'm not going to train with you. Now he's not doing it because I didn't pick up the option. What was the excuse 2 years ago? Well, the excuse he told us was, I'm making that money, boss. You should make that money. There's a lot of other days to make the money. This is not the day to make the money. B is in Haymarket. What's up, B?
Hey, dude.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Please stop. Please stop. You know that the organization listens to this radio station. They listen to everything that you guys say. And I'm the one that called the other day and said they are reactionary to everything. Right now, what they're going to do, they're going to run their mouth. They're going to devalue the product, the asset. What they need to do is say, hey, everything's fine. Yeah, we know where he was. He's coming back. Make it seem like everything's fine. Flip him for a 2-4 or 2-3 or whatever we can get. Because he's not coming back. He's not going to sign back. Even if he has a great year like you guys say, he doesn't want to come back here now. But please stop. Please stop.
Appreciate you, dude. I would say you overestimate our influence over there.
I hope we're that influential.
But, yeah, I mean, what we say and, you know, league business, I don't think necessarily there's that great of a correlation, but I do appreciate the estimation of our powers.
I think I'd like to add assistant general manager to my business card.
I'd love to.
Washington Commanders.
But you know, shtick aside, it has happened, right? We've seen the devaluing of assets, you know, just to try to make other people look good. That's a thing.
Only for about 30 years, though.
Yeah.
Double play is next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Remember, at 4 o'clock, Coming up in less than 20 minutes on G&D, we've got tickets to see Bert Kreischer when he comes to town. And at 4:25, Juan Soto's back in D.C. How do you feel about the Juan Soto trade now? This is The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. We're on Twitter. If you want to get a hold of us, at Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny for DR. OTAs taking part out in Ashburn today. Players from the organization showing up to get their work in. We've been talking about how everybody but three players took place in the activities today. Chase Young, Montez Sweat, and Charles Leno did not post. That's been our A story. I do want to get into Juan Soto. That's how we were going to lead off the show before the news today. We'll do that next hour. He's back in D.C. The Padres are in town. Mackenzie Gore pitching against the team that traded him as the centerpiece of the Soto deal. Should be a fun night at Nats Park. Want to revisit the Soto trade and the state of the Nationals here several months after they made that move, coming up on a year ago now. But let's get to our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Tickets to see Bert Kreischer in 10 minutes. You better be listening.
I don't know if this happens in your neighborhood, Jeeps. I don't remember this being a thing, but it's a thing now. So what these companies do is they'll have either one guy or a couple guys or something knock on your door, cold knock, and say, hey, how's it going, man? I got a little bit of downtime on my route. I was just working with the Smith family around the corner or right over there, and we're doing some roofing for them, or we're doing bug shield for them. Anyway, I just wanted to see. We had a great special going on, and like at first, the first time it happened, I didn't know any neighbors. I was like, oh, okay, well, that sounds good. And do you have any brochures or anything? No, you want me to come in real quick? And I can, no, we can't really do that right now. But now it's like all the time. Every week, it seems like somebody's just cold knocking on the door, and my schedule is different than everybody else's. I'm home a lot during the day, especially kind of mid-morning before I come in and do the show. So we've gotten a lot of these dudes now. And so my game, my little bit that I've been doing is when the guy, for example, did this yesterday, raps on the door, just sort of sitting there. I don't know him. I'm not expecting him. I kind of like half open the door. He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm working with the Sneevleys and the Andersons. I go, which house? He's like, oh, right down there. What's the address? He's like, I can't tell you that. He's like, well, I know all my neighbors now. I know all their names. I don't think you're working with it. There's no Sneevley. There's no Anderson. Who are you? You know, and then he's like, now he's on the defensive and it's a little bit awkward. And I was like, please, you know, leave us alone. Don't come back. Fare thee well. If I see you again.
So he's, I mean, he's on the up and up in terms of the work he's doing.
No.
That's just his in to.
Yeah, they're not doing any work. They're just in the neighborhood trying to sell stuff, like whatever the service is.
Right, but I'm saying, like, in other words, there's nothing nefarious. He's like not trying to rob you.
No.
He's trying to literally, like, provide the service, and it's like going up to a girl at a bar. Instead of a pickup line, his pickup line is, I was working three houses down.
Yeah.
And you're saying you caught him lying because he's not working three houses.
You're not working three houses down. Now, one time I saw someone doing some work on a house, and then one of the guys came over and tried to solicit, and they actually were doing it. But now, multiple times over, they're like a dude will come up and be like, yeah, I was, you know, just on the Thompsons. Where? There are no Thompsons. You know what I mean? Like, that's a made-up name, bro. You're just trying to, like, get an in and lie about it. So I don't even know what's illegal and what's not about it. I know it's incredibly annoying, and I wish it wasn't happening. But it happens. Does that happen to your neighborhood at all?
I had guys come up to me one time trying to sell me pizzas, and I bought pizzas from them.
And you got them?
I haven't yet.
Oh.
But I actually do have an update on the pizzas.
Come on.
I do.
You don't.
I seriously
don't.
Do.
Listen, I don't want to believe. Are you trying to drag me one way?
Darris, can I get a drum roll, please? I have an update on Pizzagate 2020. I've not gotten my pizza.
Oh, I thought for a second.
Still haven't gotten them.
Mm.
But they're coming.
They're coming.
It takes a while to make pizza.
Has it been 3 years?
Gotta be. It was in the middle of the pandemic. Stay-at-home time. Kids weren't in school.
Early summertime
and
in 2020.
In Fairfax County, that could be any Monday, Wednesday, or Friday.
I was going to say.
Because there's never school anymore.
I couldn't get free coffee?
I couldn't get my pizzas, Mike McDaniel. I was a guy.
Yeah.
At his front door, and they were selling me pizzas, and I couldn't say no.
They sold you hope.
Kids were nice. Leave it. And they wanted cash. That seemed weird.
That was the part that I went, oh,
I should have pulled the ripcord on cash.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
forgive my skepticism.
I wasn't even skeptical. That's the problem. Forgive my lack of skepticism. Time for my double play. At my daughter's, like, preschool she's in.
Triple preschool,
that kind of thing. Yesterday, they brought a couple of alpacas to the parking lot, and she got to go out and, like, pet the alpacas and a goat and a bunny, and it was super cute. Like, that was fun. End of the school year here, like, winding it down the next couple weeks, field day kind of deal. Today, they had a fire truck come out. So all the kids went. I took my son. He was wearing his fireman T-shirt. We were driving over. He's like, do you think I can hug the fireman? And I'm like, yeah, probably so.
Yeah, dude.
It's like, do you think I can high-five him? I was like, definitely not high-five him. You can't do that. But yeah, so we get over there. They like put the, you know, they've done this before.
Sure.
All the cool stuff, all the bells and whistles, the sirens, the noises. Then they put the ladder up. It goes so high up.
Oh, my gosh.
All the kids are screaming. They're like chanting, fire truck, fire truck. They like get to walk through the fire truck and go out on the other side. The questions they asked were a lot. Does a dog live at the firehouse? That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, what did she ask? She said, have you ever gotten a cat out of a tree? That was one of her questions.
Is that a real question? She asked that?
She asked that. And then the other question, she had her hand up for like 15 minutes. She was very sad. She came over to me like, I wanted to ask a question. I'm like, he's right over there. Just go tell him.
Yeah.
And I went over to see what this was so important. And she goes, do you use a hose to put the fire out?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
And you know what's shocking? The answer was no, apparently.
Huh?
I don't know exactly. He explained the answer very detailed. And he's like, no, we actually don't use the hose. He's like, we do this other thing. I guess that particular truck
was not a hose truck.
It's not like where water is. Water is on another truck. So now I think she thinks firemen don't use hoses now. I don't really know.
I wish you just said yes.
He could have. But yeah, but I just thought it was funny that her, like, she had her hand up for 20 minutes. They were going, like, she's a little kid. Other kids were getting called on, whatever. And I'm like, man, I kept saying to my wife, I was like, we're like 100 yards away watching from the back.
Uh-huh.
Brought my son over just so he could be there. And we're like, man, she's really serious about this question. I can't wait to hear what she asks. And then she's like, do you use a hose to put the fires out? And I'm looking at my wife. I'm like, she got it.
Valid question.
And the guy's like, oh, absolutely not.
No, it's not something we do know.
But it's something about the water is on a different truck, and this one is
the
just,
logistical information.
There's a pipe at the top of the ladder.
Can you just say yes for the three-year-old, please?
No. He did a great job. This fireman was the man. I really liked him.
So it's very similar. At my youngest school, was it last year? I can't remember when it was. But yes, same thing. He claimed, right, where the fire truck came and the kids just went crazy. It was like the most fun thing they had all year. He declared he wanted to be a fireman. He also raised his hand. I thought he was going to ask a question, like about logistics, like fire hydrant. How does the pressure work? You know, do you shoot at the top of the fire or the bottom of the fire? What he did, he raised his hand and he said, I fought several fires.
All right.
He didn't say several. He said, I fought so many fires. Like, he already declared himself a fireman who's already accomplished in the field of firefighting.
I, too, am a fireman.
And I was like, you're 4 years old. I don't think anyone believes you. But then other kids were also like, I did, too. I saved so many people from a fire. They all claimed to do that.
It'd be
as preschoolers.
Be a fireman, though, and go to, like, a school. You're a conquering hero.
You're a hero.
The kids are all jumping up and down as it was coming around the bend.
Yes.
They were late. They had the nerve to be late by about 10 minutes because they were actually fighting a fire. They had a call where there was a bunch of smoke, and they had to go do that job. And so everyone's like, where are they? The fire truck won't come. I was like, you may remember, kind of have a significant gig here.
Yes.
Where they might be doing something.
They might have to leave real quick.
Beltway Blitz is next. Teams in town you care the most, including the Nationals who play today and the Commanders. OTA's going on. Roger Goodell spoke today. We've got that audio for you next hour. He says that Josh Harris is in good shape to get the team, so we'll play that clip for you. We're Grant and Danny. Burt Kreischer tickets next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.